Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. The Obama administration is taking heat for early glitches in the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. It's largely as a result of problems with the website healthcare.gov. But even if and when the act is working flawlessly from a technical standpoint, many unknowns will remain as many Americans get used to different layers of accountability. Last week at Marquette University, some leaders in the field of dispute resolution gathered to talk about solving conflict in healthcare. It's a field in which Milwaukee native Leonard Marcus is a nationally recognized expert. Marcus directs the Program for Healthcare Negotiation and Conflict Resolution at the Harvard School of Public Health in Boston. He's also a leader in emergency preparedness and disaster response. More on that a little later. We met up with Leonard Marcus in the Alumni Memorial Union at Marquette. Thanks for joining us.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Why is it important to have this conversation about dispute resolution in medicine at this point in time?
Well, about every 20 or 30 years, our country gives a look to the healthcare system and decides that we want to change things. Certainly, we saw it back in the 60s with the development of Medicare and Medicaid. President Nixon later became very concerned about the rising healthcare costs, and there we saw the development of diagnostically related groups and different policies in that era. Then there was the Clinton era of health reform, and now we find that healthcare once again has gotten the attention of the country. That's because healthcare, unlike other services, is something that we pay through our tax dollars in the form of Medicare and Medicaid and subsidies, so that it becomes the kind of a policy issue in terms of fixing things that we don't see when it comes to fixing our automobiles. So healthcare right now, with the advent of the Affordable Care Act, or as it's oftentimes called, Obamacare, is on the front burner in terms of the attention both of politicians and all of those of us who get care in the system.
Do you think, I don't know that anyone could accuse this country of rushing into changes as far as healthcare goes, but do you think we go into these without necessarily giving enough thought to things like dispute resolution and conflict?
Well, many times the systems are designed or rules are promulgated without understanding specifically how they're going to affect people at the front line. And those people certainly could be patients, and there are many examples of a well-intended rule that can have patients caught up in conflict. One of them is a relatively new Medicare rule that says that hospitals won't be fully compensated for the care to a Medicare person if they're not admitted to the hospital. And one of the results, unintended consequences of this rule, is that many Medicare patients are put in a holding pattern without being admitted, and that could last for overnight. They're sent home, and they get a big bill, and they're surprised by the fact that Medicare didn't pay for it. So there's those sorts of very, very human conflicts. Within the health system, it's that old Abbott and Costello comedy routine of who's on first, what's on second, and I don't know who's on third. So what used to be in the sole province of doctors now is becoming taken up by physician extenders and nurses. So a lot of conflict between care providers about who does what.
The challenges seem like they impact not just patients versus the system, but there are conflicts within the system itself.
One of the phenomena that we observe is what we call the shadow effect. So if there's a conflict in a policy, that conflict is like a shadow that grows bigger and bigger the farther away from the source you are. So it's true that some of these conflicts, built-in conflicts, regarding reimbursement for care, and this, of course, could be reimbursement for a particular patient care incident, or conflicts about who does what, or conflicts between hospitals and clinics, between inpatient care and outpatient care, certainly, once they leave Washington, can result in tremendous disputes across the system. Those disputes can have the effect of complicating the course of patient care, complicating the business of care, and complicate the provision of care by professionals. So, yeah, disputes are very much a part of the system and don't get the attention they deserve often.
Well, and how much of the problem lies in the fact that the disputes are often between parties who aren't necessarily in a position to fix the system? That is, if Washington is making these decisions and you get a dispute between a hospital and a clinic, neither one of them is in the position to change the policy.
Yeah, there are two things that need to happen. First, it's important for those at the front end to understand why they're having the conflict. And sometimes, you're right, it's not about them. It's also important for the system to understand what those conflicts are and create a loop back. So if, in fact, there are conflicts regarding Medicare patients being held in hospitals and not admitted, that information needs to get back to Washington. And Washington policymakers and regulators must look at the implications of those conflicts within the field and then create those changes.
Well, and so what are the implications in terms of the dispute resolution process for the two parties who might be able to communicate to Washington, but in the meantime, they have to come to a resolution that is, if not beloved by both parties, at least both parties are willing to accept it?
Well, credit to Marquette University and the dispute resolution program here. That's raising the awareness of several things. First off, you've got to pay attention to these disputes. They're there. They're getting in the way of care. They're costing money. They're reducing the efficiencies of the system. Then there need to be very concrete mechanisms put in place where people can go to resolve those disputes. One example seen in hospitals here in Wisconsin, patient navigators, people who will be alongside someone who's suffering from cancer and then walk them through the system, because there will be a lot of pushback, obstacles, and disputes that can arise. So part of the responsibility is just acknowledging that these disputes exist and figuring out what to do about them.
This is obviously affecting patient satisfaction. Do you see, is it also affecting professional satisfaction among people in the healthcare field? I mean, I would imagine that doctors aren't going into medicine because they're enthusiastic about the idea of having conflicts with their patients or conflicts with insurance or conflicts with the Medicare system.
You know, I have the opportunity to teach many physicians about negotiation and conflict resolution, many of them well along in their career. And these are people who have extraordinary technical skills. They're great doctors. And they'll come up after a seminar and say, you know, nobody told me that I was supposed to be paying attention to disputes. This is an important part of my practice.
Well, and this is about more than bedside manner, right?
It's far more than bedside manner. And if you see the interaction between a patient or a nurse or caregiver as a negotiation with the patient, it completely reframes the whole question of compliance, because the patient is coming to you for your expertise. You're providing some recommendations. We're trying to negotiate a solution that works for you. So when the caregiver starts seeing this as a negotiation rather than doctor's orders, it completely reframes the interaction.
Does the patient need to look at the interaction in that way as well? I mean, does the patient have to go into it thinking that it's a negotiation, or is it just sort of a natural function of what the patient is getting out of this interaction?
Patients are very different today than they were 20 years ago because of the internet. So it used to be in the good old days that the physicians and the nurses and the caregivers had the knowledge, and patients came in doing whatever they were told to do. Now, many patients come in very well aware of their condition, the treatment options, what needs to be done. So therefore, it becomes a real negotiation between an expert and someone concerned about their care who's bringing in a lot of good questions. The caregiver needs to see that as a negotiation, and that we're trying to increase the understanding and then come to a set of decisions that are mutually beneficial.
There are a lot of unknowns about the Affordable Care Act, or they're knowns, but many people don't know them. Do you see any positives within the Affordable Care Act for the field of dispute resolution?
Well, there is not a lot known about it nationally, but we know a lot about it in Massachusetts, because the Affordable Care Act was actually modeled on our experience in Massachusetts. Our governor at the time was Mitt Romney, later became presidential candidate. And so many of the people who developed the system in Massachusetts went down to Washington to help construct that system. So the Affordable Care Act is a lot about insurance. And basically, it requires everyone to buy insurance And with that, there's more, the pool of money available to pay for health care is greater. And then there are exchanges that are set up that gets people the opportunity to be insured. In its most simple form, that's what Obamacare is all about. Now, because caregivers have to be very concerned about insurance, because that's how they're paid, there will be implications on the system. But I think we should be really clear, this is really insurance reform more than health care reform.
Well, and so then this is going to seem like a flip question, but I always make it a point to read the last line of everyone's bio. Mm-hmm. And yours mentions that you are also a cartoonist.
Mm-hmm. It's actually, being a cartoonist means that you don't draw every cartoon. And there are, in life, a lot of odd things that we see that seem to be contradictions, and that really is the essence of humor. And in fact, I've always seen my work in conflict resolution, finding those contradictions, and then helping people find ways to resolve them. You know, no better a set of contradictions recently than what we've seen in Washington, where, just as one exemplar, Obamacare isn't really that big a problem for the Republicans, and yet they made it their flag. And, you know, I think if you were to ask them, in very concrete terms, what don't you like, they couldn't really point to exactly what they don't like because it hasn't happened yet. So what they don't like is what could happen, not what is happening. And I don't think they understand the bill. So I found, as I've been reading through the news and watching this play out, and I think a lot of people are the same sense, just a lot of cartoons. Not all of which I've actually drawn, but periodically I do.
You found it a way to kind of process the world.
The world is full of conflict. And, you know, I think that's one of the contributions that the field can make. The world is full of conflict. We humans are generally not good at resolving it. Because, and there's a bit of neuroscience in this, we call it going to the basement. When we are threatened in any way, and a conflict oftentimes has some element of threat, there's a structure in our brain called the amygdala. And it lights up, and it turns on our reptilian brain, and that takes over all of our thinking functions. In our nomenclature, we call that going to the basement. The basement is you're in that reptilian brain function, and when you're there, you can only see a very limited set of options. Triple F. It's either freeze, and many people do, or flight, you run away, or fight, you become very aggressive. And there are many of things in our daily life that can take us to the basement. Certainly if you're a parent, kids were designed to take us to the basement. A nasty email from a colleague can take you to the basement. And certainly if you're in the middle of a conflict or if you're in the middle of a crisis, there are many things that will take you to the basement. You know, one of the things that we teach is never negotiate, make major life decisions, or lead when you're in the basement. And it's critical, and this really goes to the whole body of work that's developing in neuroscience, it's important to get yourself out of the basement. It's tough. And what we say is you need to reset your brain. Do something routine. Count to two or three or four. Do something you've practiced. You know, put something in your mind that you're going to do when you're in the basement. So first, admit you're in the basement. Get yourself out of the basement so that you can get a clear sense of what's going on, or basically reassume control of your brain. And once you're out of the basement, you can go to that higher level thinking and say, here's what's going on. Here's what we're doing. There's a gap. How do we close that gap? And that's a critical skill for conflict resolution, critical skill for life, and a critical skill for getting through a crisis. And when people say, well, what's the relationship between your work in crisis leadership and healthcare conflict resolution, there's a lot of overlap. Doctors and nurses and patients have a lot that can take them to the basement. Crisis leaders have a lot that can take them to the basement. And to the extent that leaders can recognize that first in themselves, leaders can recognize that in other people, help folks get out of the basement, and then direct them towards constructive activity. Certainly it works in healthcare, and certainly it works in crisis scenarios as well.
Dr. Leonard Marcus, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dr. Leonard Marcus is a Milwaukee native who now directs the Program for Healthcare Negotiation and Conflict Resolution at the Harvard School of Public Health. He was back in Milwaukee to deliver the keynote address at the Dispute Resolution and Healthcare Conference held by Marquette University's Graduate Program in Dispute Resolution. Keep listening. Thousands of people pass an old car in a Wauwatosa parking lot each day, but Milwaukee Magazine's Kurt Chandler actually stopped to learn the story of the car and its owner. He shares it with us when Lake Effect returns on WUWM.